And so we begin. I know it is not New Year's Day. I know it is not the first Sunday of Advent. But in the world around us today, this time of year does feel like a time of beginnings. Some of us are returning from vacations. Some of us returning to school. We return to a new program year here in the life of the church. And I just want to say how good it is to see you all. I returned from some vacation, got back on Tuesday, spending a couple weeks in upstate New York along the St. Lawrence River, and in the small village where we stay, there's a swimming area at the end of our street, overlooking the rocks and an area where folks can go in, jump in, and refresh themselves in the cool waters of the river. And along that swimming area, there are some benches, memorial benches, that have been given by various family members in the village. One of the benches was given by one of our neighbors in memory of their sister, a woman who died all too young in her 40s, and their mother, who died just a few years after her daughter. And on the memorial plaque attached to the back of the bench, along with their names, are these words: "Mom, watch me." And every time I read those words, although I never met Margot or her mother Margaret, I have an image, a picture, of a young girl perhaps jumping into the water for the very first time, or swimming out into the area beyond where she can stand for the very first time, and exclaiming in excitement and hope, "Mom, watch me, see me." It's a wonderful and beguiling image, and perhaps you have actually been on one side or the other of an experience like that, to be recognized and seen, or to acknowledge another and to see him or her and what they are doing. But of course, you may also know what it may be like not to have had a mom or dad see you and recognize you. Another snapshot, this time on the way home from vacation when we stopped at a diner, and as we were waiting for our meal, I glanced over and saw two young girls and their mom waiting for their meal. And I saw the two girls eagerly talking with each other, but also trying to engage their mom as she was very busily texting away on her cell phone, in some ways completely oblivious to what was happening on the other side of the table. Now, this is not a sermon about appropriate parenting skills, but it is about things seen and unseen. It is about persons seen and unseen. Jesus has traveled to the region of Tyre, and apparently he does not want to be seen himself. He is hiding in a house. This is not his Galilean homeland. It is not where his fellow Jews reside. He is in Greek territory, the territory of Gentiles. And a woman who has heard of this rabbi and miracle worker has sought him out. And even though he has tried to hide himself, she makes her way to the house. And she, a Gentile, a Syrophoenician woman, has a daughter who is ill, possessed by a demon. She probably knows that Jesus would not normally deal with Gentiles like her. But determined as she is, she comes into the room and begs him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And what is the response of Jesus? "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." It was not uncommon for Jews to refer to Gentiles as dogs. It's a remarkable story that's included in the gospel. Jesus seemed to refuse the request of a woman in need. Jesus suggesting that this person does not deserve the bread that he is offering his own people. Jesus, in effect, not seeing who is in front of him. Most of us can probably remember an experience or a moment when we were invisible to another. Sometimes it's inconsequential, waiting in a restaurant and trying every which way to get the attention of a waiter, any waiter. Or maybe meeting someone for the sixth time and realizing that they still have no idea who you are. Some of those moments we can laugh about, but then there are those situations, not necessarily moments, but even chapters in our lives, when another has not seen us for who we are, or been able to acknowledge the integrity of our being. So to return to our story, is Jesus not seeing the true person, the true need? Mark does not tell us whether Jesus is trying to be clever or provocative. We do not know for sure what he saw and did not see in this woman, except that his words provoked in her a response that proclaimed the good news. For she does not walk away. She does not accept the judgment of this stranger. Instead, she offers a provocative response of her own. "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." A young girl leaps into the waters of a river and is so eager to be seen and cries out, "Mom, watch me." A mother, desperate for the healing of her child, stands defiantly and says, "Sir, see me." Or maybe even more precisely, "See my daughter. Heal her." And so he does. We are the body of Christ here, offering the good news of God's embracing love to the world. And we do our best to welcome the stranger, the person who does not look like us, the person who does not dress like us, or talk like us, whose sexual orientation or level of education or income may be different from ours. And we heard from the letter of James this morning advice on how we are not to regard a person by how they are dressed or how they speak and point them to a particular place or pew or where to sit. But even when we do our best, there are times when we will not see. I still remember a time in a previous church when I was working with a welcoming committee and we were talking about our bulletin. Did it have enough information in it? Did it provide guidance and welcome for the newcomer especially, with appropriate directions for both the liturgy and for our building and how to find your way around? And after some considerable work, most of us agreed that we were doing a pretty good job. And then one member on the committee said, "Of course, this will work great for anyone who knows how to read." And we all looked at each other and realized there was someone's, who we were not seeing at all in our conversation. The persons who might not have the literary skills to actually pick up the bulletin and read it. And thus ensued a lively conversation about how we could become more embracing and more welcoming. Whom do we not see? In some ways, that question can only be answered by the person who comes to us and says, "See me, watch me." And so it is good to see you all. But one of my prayers for us and our life together as we begin this new year is that the Syrophoenician women, in whatever guise she or he may appear, comes into our midst, bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ, as she says to us, "See me." Amen.